golf.
Now back to Mickey and Zach.
Well, I got a woman way over town that's good to me. Oh, yeah.
We are extremely fortunate to have priority one as our security provider here and at my home as well. We were walking the neighborhood last night, Mary and I, and some of our very good friends who have a brand new house in the neighborhood. I looked up and I saw their priority one security sign right there in their yard. Priority one all throughout our neighborhood now, everywhere you look now. And we know that priority one are the top of the line when it comes to technology, top of the line when it comes to service. We know this, that like this weekend, now we do have a house sitter who's going to be staying with us this weekend, but we know that if anything ever goes wrong, I'll get the text message straight from Priority One within seconds of an alarm going off, and I can check our cameras at any point in time to make sure anything's going on. We can control our thermostat. We can do all that at Priority One. We're lucky to have them at our home, especially this time of year with gone so much. Break into my house, smile for the cameras. Cameras everywhere around the house. So think about that. Think about Priority One for protecting your family whenever you need the best in the business. PriorityOneSecurity.com. To our guest lines now, Tony Morrell joins us from TheBigSpur.com. Good morning, Tony. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Mickey. How about you?
Fantastic. Thanks for being on with us. Let's get back to let's talk good news first for South Carolina and some of the great things that came out of it. And I want to begin with what I thought was perhaps one of the most important parts of it. I thought Brian McClendon had a fantastic game plan. The pace, the rolling Bentley out, the getting rid of it quickly, doing everything he could to really eliminate Clemson and the defensive line, exploit the safeties. I thought that McClendon really had an excellent game plan going in.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it was really a clear example of Brian McClendon being a significant upgrade over Kurt Roper, the coach he replaced. You look at how Roper approached Clemson in his first 2 years, or his only 2 years as coordinator against them, and really came up with nothing offensively to attack Clemson with. And McClendon and the rest of the coaches did a great job of coming up with a game plan that could work for them. And I thought he did a good job of adjusting as the game went on and making the right play calls a lot of the time. And of course, the players went out there and executed it well. You know, Jake Bentley had a heck of a game and showed a willingness to stand in the pocket and make some tough throws under duress. And receivers made some big plays for him down the field. And, they put up some big numbers offensively. Obviously, wasn't enough to win the game, but certainly a much better showing for South Carolina this year than the previous 2 years with Will Muschamp as head coach.
I was going to mention, too, in something, the offensive line, I thought more than held their own. For the most part, there were some breakdowns in there, but for the most part, I thought the offensive line played well. Seemed like Eric Wolfer's done a very good job with that part of the offense. You had seen Bentley, I had hinted at it last week. I thought Bentley could have some success because we've seen him do this about the last half of the season.
Yeah, he has played really well really since that Missouri game when he missed with injury and Skarnakia got the start in that game and finished it out. Really, since that game or since that time, Bentley has played very well in the second half of the season. I think he's been shown much better awareness in the second half of the season. I think he's shown a greater willingness to go through his progressions and has done a better job of stepping up in the pocket and buying himself a little bit of time to allow some of those routes down the field to develop. And it's just been much more in control of the offense in the second half of the season. And, of course, his receivers have done a better job of holding on to the football. I think that certainly played a role in how things went in the first half of the season. A lot of drops and some instances where Bentley missed open players down the field in some of those early games. But I think part of the improvement has come with Brian McClendon moving down to the sideline from the box. He did that in the second half of the season, and that's I think has helped him interface with Bentley, but also interface with his wide receivers and keep those guys focused and ready to go on every possession. So I think that's going to be a permanent move going forward for him.
Kyle Pollard had the big play in the passing game. Edwards was pretty solid. I thought Edwards was blocking was really good. And obviously, I mean, Debo had an unbelievable game. I don't want to take away from Debo. 10 catches for 210 yards, 3 touchdowns. But to me, I thought Shai Smith had – I mean, Debo's catches were great. They were – he wasn't covered through most of those. I thought Shai Smith competed for the ball in the air, and I came away, you know, almost as impressed with him as anybody else on the offense.
Yeah, I think they liked the matchups they got with Shai Smith in the slot, matched up against safeties for the most part, and felt like he could get open. I mean, I think he had 7 catches in the first quarter, so clearly they came into the game planning to target him, and he had some success, and I would agree that he, not only played well but competed very hard for the ball in the air, made some tough catches, is a guy that I don't know that has been utilized quite enough this year, to be honest. And that's not, I'm not a shot at the coaches or Bentley or anything like that, but I think he's capable of doing more in the passing game than he's done this year. And I think he's got a really bright future and is going to make some big plays, I think, before his career is over with.
I'm not even sure if it's Emory and Henry formation because it's only half. Sometimes you see both of those guys doing the funky formation. We've seen that a couple of times now. Do we need to see more of that moving forward?
Yeah, maybe. It's worked for them the times they've tried it. And they got away from it. When they tried it early in the season, they got away from it pretty quickly, even though it was working. But I think, not just that formation, but I just think in general it's good to mix up your formations. That's something that Spurrier was always really good at. When he was focused, he would, go into a big game and show you formations you haven't seen, show you mix different things up just to throw the defensive coordinator off, throw the players off, make them, have something else in mind as they defend you. And I think South Carolina could certainly – McClendon has done a lot more of it than Roper did, but I think it's something they could continue to do, just to be less predictable and give the defender something else to think about. I think it's a good move to mix that up as much as you can.
On the other side of the ball, I have to get to the bad news part. Oh, by the way, good news part of it, too. I thought your kicking game was pretty good. Returning game wasn't great, but Charlton, the punter, seems to do a really good job. No field goals, all extra points were good. That wasn't a bad deal. On the other side of it, defensively, not sure anything really went right the entire night.
No, and I hinted this on the show last week. They really had no chance defensively with the number of players they had out, combined with how good Clemson is offensively. Clemson's obviously played very well on that side of the ball here in the second half of the season as Trevor Lawrence has gotten more experience. And they have so many weapons at receiver, and ETN's one of the best running backs in the country. And even at full speed, it's a tough matchup for South Carolina. But when you take away DJ Wanham and Bryson Allen Williams and Jamias Williams and JJ and Agbare couldn't play, and Nick Harvey, JT Ebe, so many guys that early in the season were either starters or first off the bench at their position. It just made things very difficult for South Carolina. I questioned whether they would touch Trevor Lawrence all night, and I'm not sure they did. Maybe once or twice after a throw, but they just couldn't generate any kind of pressure without Wanham and Allen Williams and it just put them up against the 8-ball, and that's why they went for it on 4th down twice inside the red zone and some of the things they did offensively, because they knew they were in big trouble defensively. Certainly would have loved to have seen the game played where South Carolina was at full strength and had a better chance to compete defensively, but I think, anyone with knowledge of the personnel knew going in they were in big trouble defensively in this game.
And thinking about the, moving forward, do any way at all to tell on the injuries, was it a common theme, weird, crazy? Is there any way to talk about the injuries and why it happened the way it happened?
It's something they're looking at internally, trying to figure out, but I don't know that there is a common thread. Some of them are chronic type injuries, hamstrings, groin type things and shoulders in a few cases, but Danny Fennell tore his ACL in the game. Bryson Allen Williams and DJ Wanham basically had the same injury to their the ligament in the outside of their ankles. you know, it's just been one of those years. You know, the first 2 years they were pretty fortunate from an injury standpoint outside of Debo Samuel last year. Enrico Dowdle was banged up there, but in terms of just a total team, they stayed pretty healthy the first 2 years under Muschamp. This third year has been a big struggle. You know, at one point in the Clemson game, they had six true freshmen out there on defense at the same time. You know, so six out of 11 players, true freshmen. And that's obviously a great experience for those guys, and I think it's something that'll pay off down the line, those guys getting the reps they've gotten this year, but it's clearly not a formula to beat the number two team in the country in their home field with, you know, having six true freshmen out there. So it is what it is, though. You know, it's something that they want to try to, they can find some common threads, whether it's practice habits, strength and conditioning things, whatever it may be. They want to try to change anything they can that'll help them, you know, not have to battle this next year. Because, you know, like I said in previous segments, this wasn't a deep team to begin with. And if, I think if you go back and if we could go back and listen to some of the things you and I talked about early in the year or even preseason, it was they had to stay healthy, particularly on defense, because they didn't have a lot of depth at linebacker, didn't have a lot of depth in the secondary, and the defensive line even, and it just hasn't happened, and it's made life very tough on them on that side of the ball.
Akron this weekend, Akron 2-6 in the MAC, 4-7 overall. Do we know anything about the Zips program?
Not a ton. I can't say that I've seen them play this year. You know, I think South Carolina is a 28-29 point favorite in this game, and it's going to be an unusual scene. You know, I don't think there's going to be a ton of people there. It's probably going to be, you know, the lowest attended home game South Carolina's had in I don't know how long. But it's still a good opportunity for the players to get another game in. Helps them from a bowl scenario standpoint. And they are going to have a pretty good group of recruits in, it looks like. So, you know, it's not ideal, but I think it's better than not playing the game, not making up the game. And they're just, you know, really just having to play with the cards they've been dealt in this scenario. But I think it's a game South Carolina should win pretty well, pretty handily, as long as the players are focused and ready to go.
Any idea on attendance? Any guesses on attendance?
Boy, I'd say 30,000-40,000 if I had to guess, something like that. I mean, I'm just guessing right now, but I know there's a ton of tickets still available, and I know the university's trying to do some creative things to get some fans in the seats. We'll probably end up giving a lot of tickets away, maybe to the military and some different things, to try to get as many people there as they can. But I would think it's going to be pretty lowly attended game overall.
All right, moving forward, bowl games, bowl scenarios. We're starting to narrow down on a couple of three.
Yeah, I think the two most likely are Belk Bowl in Charlotte or Gator Bowl in Jacksonville. I think, you know, Texas A&M beating LSU may have hurt South Carolina a little bit with the Gator Bowl in terms of the domino effect. It could make that a little bit less likely, although I do know that the Gator Bowl folks would like to have South Carolina if it works out for them. You know, it's been, I don't even know how many years now since South Carolina's played in it. I guess it goes back to the 80s. That was the last time South Carolina played in it, and I think their fans would travel pretty well to Jacksonville, and it would be a good scenario, I think, for both sides. The Belk Bowl obviously would be convenient for South Carolina fans for the most part. I don't know how much it would do for hotel sales and things like that, you know, which is one of the factors in bowl selections and some of the things that the committees look at, but you know, a matchup with an NC State or Virginia or something like that in the Belk Bowl, I think, would be pretty well attended. Would give the fans something to, and the players to get excited about. And the other factor there is South Carolina does play North Carolina in Charlotte to open the season next year. So I'm sure that's another factor in the decision. If it isn't either one of those, it looks like maybe Liberty Bowl would be the third one in there. But I think most folks on the South Carolina end of things would like to see it either be Belk or Gator.
An interesting Mac Brown in Charlotte next year to open things up. We might spend a little time talking about that here in the next few months. A couple of our text messages here. Want to ask a couple of things. The running back that decommitted from you, Todd, was that a South Carolina thing? Was that a mutual thing? What happened with him?
That was a South Carolina thing. He just had not developed the way they thought he would. He didn't have a good camp this summer, and I think that was the first red flag. And then they you know, monitored his play this year, and he just didn't have the kind of year they were expecting him to have. And I think they had significantly reduced communication with him, and he saw the handwriting on the wall and went ahead and decommitted. You know, I know he's been to games at Auburn, Florida, and Clemson this year. I know Clemson's not really involved, and I'm not sure he would be a take for Auburn or Florida either, so it'll be interesting to see where he ends up. But just one of those guys that was a projection when they took him, and it didn't pan out the way they'd hoped.
And then final text message question here about Bentley and going pro. At one point in time, I didn't think that would happen. Is that after Saturday night, is that maybe a little more of a possibility?
You know, I've certainly helped himself Saturday night. I have no doubt there were scouts watching that were impressed with the way he played. I don't think he's ready for the NFL. I don't think any of the guys on South Carolina's team that are considering it, you know, Brian Edwards, Javon Kinlaw, Bentley, I don't think any of those guys are ready. I think the one variable with Bentley is that this quarterback draft class is pretty it's not very deep. You know, I saw one recent mock draft that had Drew Locke going number four to the New York Giants, and I've never really viewed him as that kind of player. I think he can play in the NFL, but I would have said third, fourth, fifth round type guys. So for him to be a top 10 pick, you know, maybe it's something that Bentley would consider a little bit more heavily because of that. But realistically, I think he could certainly benefit from another year at the college level, especially when you factor in, him graduating from high school early and being a younger guy overall. I think another year at South Carolina could really help him overall. Unless he gets, you know, word that he could be a first-round pick, then, you know, that changes the equation.
Finally, what's the code on the site? You got Akron coming to town this weekend, a lot of recruiting stuff, I know.
Yeah, we'll cover things leading up to the Akron game this weekend. Should be a pretty good group of visitors that we'll have coverage of before and after the game. Follow up with a lot of those guys, and then should be a lot of bowl talk on the site this weekend. And we'll be on top of that as well, and try to get all the fans the news on where South Carolina is going to go as quickly as we can on Sunday if it happens that day. So just go to BigSpur.com and you can become a member today.
Sounds great, man. Let's review a little Akron. Let's talk a little bowl game, some staff stuff, some junior stuff, and some recruiting next week when we visit.
Sounds good.
All right. It's Tony Morrell of TheBigSpur.com. My friends at Trail want to build your next building. They don't build single-family homes. I'm sorry. Just don't do that. They're into building. They do build multifamily homes. They build, you know, apartments and condominiums and some of those things. But your next restaurant, your next bank, your next, you know, any kind of adaptive reuse thing, turning an old building into a great office building. But your next office, you know, whatever it might be, your next church, they'd love to do that for you. They do it with a better building process. They could do any kind of delivery method, delivery modes out there, delivery methods out there. They prefer this master builder concept that works for them. And really, let me tell you about so many times I hear people talk about customer service. So many times I hear companies say about customer service. Trail, they walk the walk. Go by and look at their testimonials and what people say about them and about how it really is truly, you know, what they're about. It's creating quality buildings, but lasting relationships and making sure you have that communication from every single aspect of your project. TREHEL.com. As Will Huss once said to me a long time ago, if we do not exceed your expectations, then we have failed. I love that idea at Trail. 800-319-7006, TREHEL.com. Short break, phone calls, text, tweets right after this. Hi, friends. Mickey Baller here for Bozy Boggs and the Boggs Law Firm. When it comes to legal advice, I go with someone I can trust, and that's the Boggs Law Firm. Their telephone number, 233-8066. The first phone call you make in any legal situation should be to Bozy and the Boggs Law Firm. For legal consultation, court matters, for legal documents, or any legal advice, make your first phone call to Bozy Boggs and the Boggs Law Firm. Again, that number, 233-8066.
Head to Bojangles for our holiday family variety feast. You'll get 8 pieces of chicken, 12 chicken supremes, 8 made-from-scratch biscuits, 3 picnic fixins, and a half gallon of legendary iced tea. Bojangles, it's bow time.
Quag here for Hendrick Honda Easley. I've owned my Accord for several years, and I can tell you a Honda's the way to go. Hendrick Honda Easley's been in business 25 years, offering their customers a fair, fast, easy, and transparent experience. After you've purchased your new or pre-owned vehicle from Hendrick Honda Easley, believe me, their staff from service to finance is behind you 100%. See Hendrick Honda Easley online at HendrickHondaSC.com or in person at 4609 Calhoun Memorial Highway.
Hey, this is Mark Griffin. Many of you know me from Griffin Property Solutions. After 5 years, I'm proud to announce that Griffin has partnered with Sperry Commercial Global Affiliates. The business landscape is constantly evolving, and so are the dynamics of commercial real estate. We offer local knowledge combined with a state-of-the-art global commercial network, leaving no stone unturned. We call it local reach on a global scale. Call us at 315-3734 or visit us at GriffinPartnersSC.com. Go Tigers!
Carolina Alliance has a team of experienced, devoted bankers to help you with any financial hurdle you come across, offering competitive low rates and personal one-on-one services for your business or personal banking need. Here's the best part. These are people you know from the community. Stop in for a visit. David Barnett, Dustin Green, and Leslie Menace in Greenville, Jack Bice, Robert Halfacre, and Lois Filial in Anderson, and Adria Earwood in Easley. Visit them online at CarolinaAllianceBank.com. Member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Join Mickey, Brad, Ben, Kwok, and Kelly live on location November 29th from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. at United Rentals Greenville. There will be something for everyone. Check out ready-to-work equipment during their biggest sale of the year. Hang out with the WCCP crew and enter to win prizes. Don't miss it. The Big Blue Equipment Sale November 29th from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. with the Mickey Plyler Show, the Press Box, and Out of Bounds live on location. 117 Woodruff Industrial Lane in Greenville.
Ready to tailgate for the big game? Food? Check. Drinks? Check. Ice? Don't worry. Twice the Ice has you covered with an option of bulk ice or 16-pound bags of filtered non-chlorinated water for your cooler to ensure your day is twice as nice at half the price. 24/7. Bring your cooler to any 18 locations in Anderson and Pickens County.
It's too hot. Get some ice. Need a cool drink. Just chilling nice. Got me a big old bag of ice. This hot deal so cool. It's twice as nice.
Now that it's football season, tailgaters know that Christopher Trucks is your source for RV maintenance, service, and repairs. They have a state-of-the-art Hunter all-wheel alignment machine for your RV, and their factory-certified alignment specialists are experts in making sure your RV rides safely down the road. Fire up the grill, chill the drinks, and get your RV ready for tailgating with Christopher Trucks, 108 Harris Road, Piedmont, or call 269-2131 and ask for Brian or Jennifer.
When it's time to replace your roof, there are so many things to consider, from the type of roof you have to the many types and styles of shingles. Gilstrap Roofing understands how each part of our roofing system works together to give you a beautiful and watertight barrier. Don't trust the one thing that really protects your home to just anyone. Gilstrap Roofing has been covering the upstate for four generations. Proven, experienced roofers for your home or business. Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
The Mickey Plyler Show on 105.5 The Roar.
Oh, okay, tell us how you really feel.
Now back to Mickey and Zach.
Well, they blew up a chicken man in Philly last night. Now they blew up his house too. Down on the boardwalk, they're getting ready for a fight. Gonna
have ever see what them told you what a procrastinator I am, Zach, about stuff I don't want to do? Have you ever noticed this? Like, I don't procrastinate stuff I want to do.
Sure. No, you don't ever put off going to Walker.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I don't procrastinate lunch.
Mm.
I don't procrastinate these things.
What's special today?
I don't know. I'm going to guess some sort of turkey sandwich. That's what I'm going to guess.
I thought you don't eat turkey outside of Thanksgiving.
Turkey. Oh, I had turkey yesterday for lunch at the house.
Interesting.
A little leftover turkey, some white bread and pepper and mayonnaise.
Interesting development.
A little mac and cheese leftover. You're not a mac and cheese guy.
I like mac and cheese. I just think it's for the children at Thanksgiving.
So you eat it 364, but on Thanksgiving you leave for the children.
No, I don't eat it 364. It's okay, but it's like it's for the kids.
It's not an adult food.
Is it? Would you consider it an adult food?
Am I an adult?
At Thanksgiving, do the kids eat it most or the adults?
I had me two big old helpings.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I'll be honest with you. I had two meals on Thursday and I had four helpings. I got home yesterday. I made mac and cheese with my turkey yesterday. Well, thank you.
I'm glad you had some mac and cheese.
And my point is, I procrastinate things I don't want to do.
Sure.
Absolute Waste Management specializes in residential and commercial waste removal, bulky, unwanted stuff, old furniture, appliances, construction debris, yard waste. That they can clean out services for evictions, garages, attics, rental properties, estate liquidations and foreclosures, old stock rooms, old unused equipment. They clean out barns and buildings and sheds. Let them take care of you. They get it done. They get it done quickly, locally owned, operated. There's no hidden fees. It's straightforward pricing. They say no job is too big, no job is too small. Call or text 266-7131. I'll tell you again, Zach Orman Store 24. 266-7131. AbsoluteWasteMGMT.com. Telephone number here for the rest of the show. 30 minutes. You can get in touch with us. 654-ROAR, 654-7627. I've done zero Twitter today. I want to get some Twitter.
Here's a Twitter for you.
Mm-hmm.
At PIM Big Dave. Do you know that Twitter account?
P-I-M-P, boy. Yeah, of course I do.
4 hours ago. You see this yet?
No.
Here's a screenshot of a rival site. And it said, take two, can Clemson land nation's number one player for 2020? It's obviously a screenshot of his son.
Right.
He's quote tweeted that and goes, they definitely can, exclamation mark.
I love it, man.
So there's your little bump in enthusiasm.
I love Big Dave. Absolutely love Big Dave. I want to say this about DJ Uwangalele. I am...
We're just going to have to call him DJ.
Fascinated. Now, once you get it, you get it.
DJ U.
Now, once you get it, you get it. Like, for... Once you had... I always called him Miguel Andujar, but it's Andujar. Once you get it, you get it. All right. I am fascinated by the Hawaiian, Samoan, Pacific Asian, Islander. I'm fascinated by their...
Remember when Alabama fans thought there'd be a language barrier with Tua?
Who told us yesterday that someone thought that Tua stand for the University of Alabama?
You remember that?
Language barrier. But the discipline, their very kind-hearted nature.
I just poured water all over my shirt.
Oh, no.
Just an update for the folks at home.
Okay. Do you sense it? Like, you're a worldly man. The culture's highly, highly religious beliefs and values. You see Tua with the two crosses on his cheeks. Very highly religious kid.
Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
If he comes, does that mean we get to do the haka here at Clemson?
Yes. I don't know if they do that or not.
That's exciting.
But because, you know, again, I'm not grouping everything in there because you have different factions and things like this. But I'm fascinated by the blend of their culture and what it means. I mean, the Hawaiian stuff, Marcus Mariota coming over in Oregon, what he's done and what a great guy he was. And I think it fits right in here. And I can't wait to.
Sounds like you need to make a trip to the Owl Islands down there.
I need to. But this is fascinating to me to see that. I told you I watched a video when he was 10 years old. And he comes across, they asked him this one guy, one thing, he says, what would you want, or why? How do you attribute your total skills? And he said something about, about God and giving him all this ability and that kind of stuff. And for a 10-year-old kid, I made Meredith watch it last night. She's like, wow, man, that kid's 10 years old. He's mature. Here you are 8 years later, and now he's the number one player in the country. So, fascinating to watch that. I want to switch gears quickly if I can.
As long as it's quickly.
I'll make it as quick as I can. Freddie Cunningham, News Channel 7, sent me this thing.
Has he mentally checked out already today?
I'm sure he's off the air by now. I'm sure they're showing Price is Right by now, whatever they show. Another World or General Hospital, whatever's on already. No, we're
bring back Bob Barker.
They're showing some probably talk show, and then it'll be all these lawyers that advertisement said, I'll get you your cash because you're not working right now.
J.G. Wentworth.
877 cash now. Anyway.
Man, that really worked. That's a good advertisement right there.
So Fred writes in this morning, three words must be banned from college football, the eye test.
Yep.
And what I said is I agree. Look, and I tell them this, my eye test is look at the record for each team, look at who they beat, look at who they lost to. Fred makes a great point. He goes, I agree 100%. I listened to two clowns yesterday debate the resume of their upside and say Ohio State has more upside because they have more talent. Fred says, so what did the eye test tell you about Ohio State versus Michigan before Saturday? Screw the eye test. Just look at the results. It's not that hard. That's exactly right. We're talking about upside. Yeah, they looked great on Saturday, but they looked terrible through a lot of the season, and so we're supposed to ignore that because they look really good on one Saturday? I agree with Fred on this. Look, this thing, this is not hard, Mr. Or 24, Jackalay Tonto. Here's the eye test. Look at their record. Look at who they beat. Look at who they lost to, and look at the scores and stats of those games and how they controlled the games or not controlled the games. And quite frankly, to be totally honest with you, it's not a good look for Ohio State. They look really, really good on Saturday, sure, rightfully so. But I'll ask you this, Mr. Or24. Did they look great against Penn State? I say no. They came back and won. Did they look great against Indiana? That game was very, very close throughout. I watched them against Minnesota. The eye test didn't tell me they looked great. I watched Purdue beat them by 29. The eye test told me they didn't look great. Mm-hmm. I watched them struggle to beat Nebraska by 5. The eye test told me they didn't look great. If you weren't from Michigan State, just throwing away the game, they didn't look great up in East Lansing. I watched them play Maryland, and it was a 2-point conversion away from losing, and Maryland should have kicked the extra point and gone to overtime. That eye test didn't look great to me. So I don't care about the potential of it. I look at the entire resume, the entire body, and Ohio State wasn't impressive this year. Now they're 6th. Because Oklahoma was slightly more impressive. Same thing with Oklahoma, though.
Yep.
Who is 5th because Georgia, slightly more impressive. Who's 4th because Notre Dame was slightly more impressive. Who's 3rd because Clemson was slightly more impressive. Who's 2nd because Alabama was slightly more impressive. This is easy, man. Don't complicate this thing. We don't have to complicate eye tests, complicate strength of schedules, complicate. Just look at it. You can tell. Anybody in the right mind will tell you it's Alabama, then Clemson, then Notre Dame, then Georgia, then Oklahoma, then Ohio State. That's easy, yeah, simple.
Easy eye test. Passes.
No, not eye test. No. The eye test is just look at their resume.
I'm an eye test guy.
Through all that, I knew it was coming. I knew it.
I'm an eye test guy.
I knew you'd do it.
And make no mistake about it there, Mickey, and old Freddie, if you're listening. I'm an eye test guy.
I love it, man. I absolutely love it.
What have you done for me lately? Right. What do you look like right now in front of me? How much makeup can you put on to make yourself look great to my eye? I'm an eye test guy.
Finally. Did you watch the end of the LSU and A&M game this past weekend?
Are we going to talk about the fight?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Have you seen the videos?
Yeah.
Have you seen the pictures?
Yeah.
Have you seen what Jimbo Fisher said?
I have not seen the official Jimbo Fisher statement.
For those that have not seen it, Jimbo Fisher's nephew, Cole Fisher, LSU tried to say that they punched Steve Kragthorpe in the chest. He pushes him in the video. Kragthorpe has Parkinson's and has a pacemaker. And Kevin Faulk, who is on the staff, former great running back.
Is this the same guy that played for the Patriots?
Yes. Kevin Falk's on the staff down there now. Kragthorpe said, I didn't appreciate getting punched in my pacemaker. I'm not feeling good now. I have no idea who this guy is, but he's wearing an A&M shirt, and I think I saw him signaling during the game. He's credentialed, so A&M should know who he is. And it turned out it's Jimbo Fisher's nephew. What's he signaling during the game?
And Kevin Faulk did what with this information?
Kevin Faulk was there when it happened and got into the scuffle with him. One of the LSU players threw a punch. And hit this guy back. The Cole Fisher started the thing. Should have never pushed Steve Kragthorpe. I get it. Kragthorpe, though, again, man, it's hard to talk about somebody in Parkinson's and a pacemaker, but he didn't get punched in the chest. Now, if he doesn't feel great, I don't know anything about pacemakers. I don't know if you can get pushed. I don't know anything about that.
You accusing this guy of flopping? Is that what's happening right now?
No, I'm not saying that. But the video, and I'll show you. Have you seen the video?
Yeah.
He didn't get punched in the chest, correct?
There was a forceful motion. Towards the man with the pacemaker.
I feel like I'm talking to Matlock over here. Like some attorney. The forceful thrust forward.
There's a forceful.
Was it an open fist or closed
thrust
fist?
Towards the man with the pacemaker.
Come on, man. So anyway, the kid messed up. The kid shouldn't have pushed Kragthorpe.
He ate a couple from Falk, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Taking them chiclets.
Yeah, he ate a couple of them.
Ate a couple of them.
Falk pumping them over there on the sideline.
LSU safety John Battle punched a kid. which probably should have. I get it. That being said, Jimbo Fisher's comments are...
What'd he say?
All right. Does it ever get any more canned and any more somebody else wrote the statement than this? Have you ever heard a statement that said less than this?
Go ahead.
It was his nephew.
It was his boy.
Jimbo Fisher, quote, "We have continued to look into the unfortunate post-game incident following the hard-fought, emotional game against LSU at Kyle Field on Saturday." First of all, you don't have to say it was emotional, hard-fought game.
You do. You got to set the narrative there. Everybody's emotions were worn down.
You don't have to tell who the opponent was.
We were six overtimes in.
No.
There were 70-plus points on the board for each team.
I don't need to know where the game was, I don't know when it was.
It's at Kyle Field.
Just say, Saturday. We looked into the situation.
Okay.
But what he says is,
continue.
We've continued to, by the way, this is written out because Jimbo can't talk. But we've continued to look into the unfortunate post-game incident. Unfortunate because your nephew punched somebody. Following the hard-fought, emotional game against LSU at Kyle Field on Saturday.
That's all he said?
No.
Oh.
As a part of that review, I, along with the Texas A&M administration, LSU, and the SEC office, have been examining videos of the incident as well as statements from relevant parties. I want to assure everyone that the matter has been addressed internally with my staff members, and we will continue to demand that our program conduct itself in a manner that meets the values and expectations of this great university. We look forward to continuing our season at a bowl destination. That's the best I have ever heard. That is total deflection. What he could have said was, man, my nephew really messed up and we're going to punish him. But instead, it's all that legal mumbo jumbo official statement. As part of the review, I, along with Texas A&M administration, LSU, and the SEC office, have been examining video and interviewing statements with parties, with relevant parties. I want to assure you the matter has been addressed, and we will continue to demand the conduct of the values and expectations of this great university while we look forward to continuing our season at a bowl destination.
Let me tell you,
what a load of bunk.
Let me tell you, this should have read.
yeah. Give it to me.
My moron nephew, who won't be on the sideline anymore.
Right.
Pushed a man with Parkinson's and a heart monitor and a pacemaker. And then Kevin Falk dummied him on the field. And it went viral. Sorry about it. We'll see you at the ball game.
I will. Let me do this.
He got dummied, too. Oh, he landed a good right. I don't know if he saw it.
He did. Let me do this. On behalf of WCCP and the Mickey Plotter Show, we will take a commercial a break and return on the other side with your phone calls via your cellular telephone, your cellular device, text messages via your cellular device, or those that will be forwarded on Twitter, your tweets at twitter.com or on your Twitter app.
We'll continue
to do the show on the other side of the short break. We'll come back right after this.
Join Walt Deptula's Road Rage at Twin Peaks this Thursday for some awesome food, drinks, and of course the scenic views. Get sports delivered to you like only Walt can do. And enjoy the cold beer and the HD TVs live this Thursday at Twin Peaks on Woodruff Road.
Hey, Tiger fans, this is Leighton Cubbage, class of 77, with an update on Lakeside Lodge Clemson. This condo hotel is officially under construction, and if you love the Clemson family, then you need to know about it. Lakeside Lodge offers 1, 2, and 3-bedroom condos starting from the mid-200s. You can use it whenever you want, and rent it when you're away. With hotel amenities like housekeeping, food and beverage services, you get the perks of ownership without the hassle of maintenance. Hurry, because these condos are selling fast. Visit our sales office at 906 Tiger Boulevard, next to Ruby Tuesdays.
Tackle the day like a tiger when you've slept like a baby on a custom mattress from Engineered Sleep. Trust and quality are what has made them so successful. They are a true direct-to-consumer business, making all their mattresses at 627 Congaree Road, and can handle any special request or custom order. And customers know that if their mattress isn't just right, Engineered Sleep will take care of them and leave them sleeping comfortably. Call 866-244-0898 or online at engineeredsleep.com.
Here at the Roar, community means everything to us, and our friends at Carolina Alliance Bank feel the exact same way. Here's a real full-service bank that puts community first. They are the community bank you have been looking for. Whether it is for business or personal banking needs, Carolina Alliance offers competitive low rates and personal one-on-one services and the customer care you thought was a thing of the past. Find a local branch at CarolinaAllianceBank.com. Again, that's CarolinaAllianceBank.com. Member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Be the hottest tiger at your tailgate party when you go buy Urban Nirvana. The best stylists, the best products make you look your best with ease. And guys, with all your honey bunny does, kids, school, work, why not surprise her with an Urban Nirvana gift certificate? It's so simple. Log on to urbannirvana.com, make your purchase, and print your gift certificate from your computer. So easy and so worth it. Look and feel like a tiger with Urban Nirvana. At MacBee Station and the shops at Green Ridge. Online at urbannirvana.com.
There's no one like you, and this fall, Pandora Jewelry lets you show that to the world with over 150 rings to choose from. Crafted from sterling silver, Pandora rose, or 14-karat gold. Now Turner's carries the Pandora University charms so you can show your team spirit. And Turner's has the new Groove brand silicone tiger paw band and has the only selection of Levion in the tri-state area. It's all happening at Turner's Jewelers in the Applewood Center Place in Seneca or online at turnersjewelers.com.
Join Mickey, Brad, Ben, Kwok, and Kelly live on location November 29th from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. at United Rentals Greenville. There will be something for everyone. Check out ready-to-work equipment during their biggest sale of the year. Hang out with the WCCP crew and enter to win prizes. Don't miss it. The Big Blue Equipment Sale November 29th from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. with the Mickey Plyler Show, the Press Box, and Out of Bounds live on location. 117 Woodruff Industrial Lane in Greenville.
Over $14,000 off. Now that's what I'm talking about. Trucks cost less and travelers rest. Where George Coleman Ford's offering a 2018 F-150 XLT with chrome package, 51,100 MSRP. On sale at just $36,999. Not only that, they never had any dealer fees. That's George Coleman Ford and Travelers Rest, the upstate's only Ford's President Award-winning dealership.
With approved credit, must finance with Ford Motor Credit. Good through January 2nd, 2019.
It's tailgate season, and Black Smokehouse in Seneca is here to hook you up with the best smoked meats, sides, desserts, and beverages. Smoked in-house daily. Ribs, barbecue, wings, chicken, and brisket. Take the stress out of game day food prep and call Black Smokehouse. They sell out quick, so call your order in ahead of time. Call 784-4599 to reserve your tailgate package in advance. Again, that's 784-4599 and online at blacksmokehouse.com. Go Tigers!
We're faced with making decisions every day, some more important than others. With Social Security, did you know that when you begin Social Security could have a tremendous impact on your retirement income for the rest of your life? How much should you save for retirement? Making an informed decision is in your best interest, so call the independent advisors at Kiwi Financial Group and make the right financial decisions for you today. That's 654-5043. Call today, 654-5043.
All the sports from last night and everything you need going into today. It's the Mickey Plyler Show on 105.5 The Roar.
I will do anything it takes to win.
Now back to Mickey and Zach.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch.
Big week over at Reed's Jewelers. Black Friday sale going on through this Friday. They start out last Friday. It's basically Black Week. It's not just one Friday. You get a 1 carat iconic diamond solitaire for just $1,999. You get a 4-piece blue topaz set, earring, pendant, bracelet, and ring, just $249 right now. Save thousands of dollars on everything else in the store between now and Friday. It's running out. Folks, go over there and see them this week. Get 18 or up to 18 months deferred interest on qualifying purchases as well. It's our friends at Reed's Jewelers, REEDS.com. Upper level of the Haywood Mall, right in the middle of it all. Yes, sir?
We have an official breaking news segment here on the morning show.
Good or bad?
Mack Brown is officially the head coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels. Will be introduced at a press conference at noon today.
It's hilarious.
Noon today.
It's just hilarious.
Sally and I love North Carolina. We love this university. We are thrilled to be back. The best part of coaching is the players, building relationships, building confidence, and ultimately seeing them build success on and off the field. Can't wait to meet our current student-athletes and reconnect with friends, alumni, and fellow Tar Heel coaches. Thank the Board of Trustees, Chancellor Folt, and Bubba Cunningham for supporting our return to the Carolina family. Mack Brown, back in college football.
I love it, man. I absolutely love it. It's going to be awesome. Mack Brown.
It's going to be what?
Awesome.
RMP.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about, baby. Yeah!
Oh, man.
Yeah, you just made my day.
What you talking about?
That's awesome. Yeah.
Pour one out for my homie.
Man, pour one out.
From my home slice.
Pour one out.
Have you ever been to guy's home slice?
Man, he ain't hurting right now.
No.
He's not hurting.
All right, quickly, I got to get Austin Jersey Jack, but quickly. How about the talk about Auburn getting rid of Gus Malzahn? Like $32 million. Like, we're going to pony it up. We want to get rid of him.
They're going to find it and just make him go away.
Here's the thing. Be careful on your extensions. Where was Gus Malzahn going to go last year?
Nowhere.
Well, why did they get caught in a leverage game? They could have walked away from Malzahn easier than he could walk away from them.
Because he screwed around and beat Bama.
Let me be very, 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 very clear about this, Zach. The person who wins the negotiation, okay, is the person who can walk away first. Do you think that Gus Malzahn was going to walk away from Auburn last year and find a better job? No. Auburn beat Georgia. They beat Alabama. They got all excited, got all their tinglies feeling all tingly. And next thing you know, they give the guy way too many years and way too much money.
Got all tingly, huh?
Yeah.
Got a little bad in the game.
If I'm an AD, you feel all froggy? Jump.
You feeling dangerous this morning? Do you wake up feeling dangerous?
Yeah, go ahead and jump. But because you had a couple of good games at the end of the year, we're going to invest 6 years and $32 million more in you? No, you're right back to where you started from, Auburn. Oh, man. Austin's in Anderson, South Carolina. Has been hanging on the longest. Austin, thanks for your patience, man. I hope you're doing well this morning.
Doing great. Hey, what official statement was worse, Jimbo's or Ohio State's Urban Meyer's first one after the whole Ohio State scandal?
It sounded like the same PR firm wrote the same thing, you know, on behalf of the Board of Trustees, blah, 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 blah. Speak English, man. You know, speak English.
Those are two guys that will, if they ever read their child a story, yeah. I feel bad for the child because zero emphasis on anything. Holy, sorry, there was somebody just pulled out in front of me on the road.
I hope you're okay. Everything all right?
Hey, turn us up and roll down the window. Get next
good.
To him.
Yeah.
I am sorry. I almost cursed on the radio.
That's okay. Hey, is the person right beside you now?
Are they right beside you?
We'd like to talk to him.
We just want a word.
Okay. Doggone.
We just want a word.
Anyway, you can pull up beside him so we can talk to him?
I don't feel like risking it.
Okay.
I'm on 85.
So okay.
And it's kind of congested.
Okay. All right.
Life is short, Austin. Risk it for the biscuit, bud. You just found that out a second ago. Life can be real short.
Oh, do it for the radio, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
Hey, I heard you talk about the playoff and the whole eye test thing. I've heard Walt kind of talk about this too, how the flaw from the playoff committee. And I do agree that there's flaws. There's never going to be anything perfect. Before I say my point, I do want to say I don't think Ohio State should have any path to get into the top four. I don't care if Clemson loses. I don't care if Georgia loses. I just don't think they're a good enough team to be in there. And I don't think their eye test from this past week should overrule the eye test that they've had all season because their defense is awful. So I'm going to preface that. But it sounds like what y'all are saying, what you're saying, Mickey, it almost kind of sounds like you're wanting a humanized version of the BCS. And I just want to get you to elaborate more on it, just to try and see where you're coming from, because it seems like you're wanting, to check off these boxes. The resume looks good. They won their conference championship, blah, 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 all that. So I was just wanting your thoughts on that.
Isn't that what we have?
Well, no, because I think the eye test is good, because if it weren't for the eye test, then Alabama wouldn't have gotten in last year. And I still think that they were one of the best four teams in the country. And if they lose this weekend to Georgia, I still think they're one of the best four
Alabama got in last year because of paper, though. Alabama had less losses than Ohio State.
But Ohio State looked better on the field.
But in my scenario, what I want is I want to look at your resume. I want to look at your wins. I want to look at your losses. And how you looked in the third quarter of a game, control of a game, whatever. All that comes together. Alabama got in last year because Ohio State had two losses and not one loss. Had Ohio State had one loss last year, then Alabama wouldn't have got in. Ohio State had more losses than Alabama.
You might be right, but we can agree that Ohio State, even with one loss last year, who'd they lose to? They lost to Penn State and Iowa.
Yeah, they got crushed by Iowa. But had they lost just one of those, what we can agree upon is, had they lost just one of those last year, Ohio State would have got in. The reason Alabama got in is because Alabama had lost one game and Ohio State lost two. So they're exactly what happened last year is exactly what
I don't know that that's. I don't know that that's true. Ohio State still won the Big Ten championship last year, right?
But Ohio State had to move up three spots to do that because they were eighth going into the college football playoff rankings, into the Big Ten championship game. They won that one, and they moved up three spots. Had they been seventh and moved up three spots, they'd have been fourth. Had they been sixth and moved up three spots, they'd have been third. If they wouldn't have moved up three spots, they'd have moved up two to fourth rather than number five behind Alabama. There were four teams last year that had one loss in college football. Five, actually. So it came down to Wisconsin, Alabama, rather than Alabama and Ohio State. Ohio State had one loss here. This is exactly right. They'd have gotten in. Also, I got to run, man. I appreciate the phone call. Let me get Jersey Jack, final phone call of the day. Jersey Jack, thanks for calling in. How you doing?
Oh, doing wonderful. It's been a great Thanksgiving weekend with my friends from South Florida, Maureen and Lewis. It's their first college game here at Clemson.
Oh, what did they think?
It's been a great weekend.
Yeah, what did they think about the first college game?
Awesome. You know, it was a little chilly. They're used to that South Florida weather, but it was a wonderful win. Right. You know, got to congratulate the entire Clemson team for a perfect season. That is very difficult to do. Winning the state championship was awesome. I did pick T. Higgins and Kendall Joseph over the weekend to star out, and T. had a great game.
Great game.
So it was a wonderful, wonderful weekend, a great time. I got to tell you one thing. I heard you yesterday, and I know you and Zach and my buddy Lou said my garage floor. He saw my garage floor and immediately said, "Got to have it done."
Got to.
It's just awesome garage floor, and I want to say that all the Clemson fans see you in Charlotte.
That's awesome. Hey, are you going to call me back later with a pick for our people to watch out for this weekend?
I certainly will. Probably will be Thursday or Friday. I'm going to do some research, and we'll give you two guys for next week.
I'm looking forward to it, Jack. Appreciate the phone call, man. You have a great day today.
All right, y'all have a great one. Talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. Well, Brad Hughes, my Allstate agent. I'm a good hands with Brad Hughes. Good hands with Allstate. Call him at 292-3001. Email him, bradhughes@allstate.com. Get in touch with him, bradhughesinsurance.com. Better coverage, better rates. Call him today, 292-3001. Make one phone call. I forget myself. I forgot Oklahoma's who beat Ohio State last year. Oklahoma and Iowa. But Zach, you see my point, that they had to come from number 8 last year going to the Big Ten championship game. If they only lost one game, they'd have been 4th or 5th or 6th. Whatever. They would have moved up, right? Okay, just making sure you're right by that. Skip the music. What do you have for me for a two-minute drill?
We mentioned it briefly early on when you were introducing the show and the topics we're going to talk about today, but the Houston Texans won last night, beating their division rival, the Tennessee Titans. The Texans, of course, on an 8 game winning streak. Deshaun Watson added 3 touchdowns last night, 2 in the air and 1 on the ground. Nuke Hopkins had 5 receptions for 76 yards. It was a fun night to watch the Houston Tigers, and we can continue to do so here in the upstate. Houston 8-3, leading the AFC South by 2 games now.
I see what you did there, the Houston Tigers. My 2-minute drill.